It is such a blessing to walk in the light. And His Word is a light and a lamp for our feet and for our path. We can see where we're going to walk in it. Sometimes, you know, I remember hearing this. It's like a fellow with a candle on each shoe, and the candle shed a little circle of light. And every time he took another step, he could see a little further. Sometimes God lets us see the long and big picture, and sometimes He lets us see the next step we should take. I used to work super late on Saturday night, and I would sit in the back row of the church. And I sat in the back row because you had to sit in the back row if you had a little baby, or you had to sit in the back row if you was going to kiss your wife during the services. Well, at first I sat in the back row because I had a little baby, and then I sat in the back row because I wanted to kiss my wife during the service. So some days, my family would be sitting like where Mrs. Hamilton is in front of me, and I'd be standing behind them. You know why I was standing, Mark? I was standing so that I wouldn't fall asleep. It's hard to fall asleep standing up. And I'd lean on the pew in front of me and close my eyes and listen to the preacher. But if you're tired in church, I know what it's like to be tired in church. And sometimes we're tired because we're too busy and we don't get enough sleep. Right, Emily? Sometimes we're tired because of the conditions and maybe it's a little warmer than we're, you know. Oh. Sometimes we're tired because we just ate. It might be something physical, but if you're tired in church, I understand. And I always try to help the guy that's tired. Right, Brother Larry? We had breakfast last week, and Brother Larry said something like, "Man, Pastor, I was listening even though I was back with my eyes closed." And I said, "Well, I saw you, and I knew about that." Somebody else is real, really very close to me. Said, "Wow, you had like six times where you could have ended." And you just kept going and going. And then I thought you were done and you got this. I didn't turn to another scripture. I can't remember, but there's someone that's very dear to me. So, I said, "You know, if you're sitting there and you're tired, you're probably looking for a good spot for me to end. I'm up here preaching and I'm looking to try to get the point across. If you're looking too hard for a place to end, it's hard to get the point across. I want you to know that I am just loving what we're working on here in 1 John. But really, what I would love even more is if we would let it catch a hold of us. You know, the special offering for the church in Jerusalem talked about there in Corinthians, and the Macedonian church gave in their great poverty, and they gave above and beyond themselves, but they gave as they had wished. They first gave themselves to the Lord. One time something happened that very greatly discouraged me in church. Well, a lot of times, if we're going to be honest, but there's one particular time I'm thinking about. And I was talking with Pastor Jerry about my disappointment. And he said, "Pastor, here's something to help you feel better. People only remember 15% of what they hear." So if something bad happened and you take and you think about it and go, well, they only remember 15% of it, and that's immediately after, and then it just tails down after that. When something bad happens, that might be comforting, but when you're trying to teach and preach the Word of God, And you have to have an immediate takeaway of people forget 85% of what they heard. Almost immediately. We really need to focus our hearts and anchor ourselves on the Scripture in order to follow it. If you've looked at the book of 1 John, it continues to repeat the same theme as if it's trying to grind it into the minds and hearts of the hearers. There is a continuing message. Now, I'm moving forward on verses, but it seems like a lot of times I'm preaching the same message again and again, doesn't it? Maybe if we take 15% and 15% and 15%, and oh, by now the first 15 is eroded down to 10, and then we continue forward. We need to take some of these things, and we need to write them on the table of our heart. We need to have them on our mind. We need to live them out into our lives. And I'm afraid that maybe we remember 15% of what we hear, but maybe we only follow through and obey and do 3%. And sometimes less. What mark will the Word of God make on you? How responsive will you be? It's one thing to know what we ought to do. It's a whole other thing to follow through and do it. In 1 John 5, verses 3 and 4, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before You this afternoon. God, we thank You for Your goodness to us, Your long-suffering, Father. We thank You for the blessing of Your Word. God, I pray that we will have our hearts and minds in tune, that we will follow through with obedience as we hear Your Word. God, I pray that it will change our hearts, our minds, and our practice, our behavior. Father, we ask Your blessing over this next few minutes as we look in Your Word for help, for instruction, for holiness. Father, we pray that You'll take and make us better Christians, that You'll make us more conformed to the image of Your dear Son because of this time in Your Word today. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, even a child is known by his doings. We have, and I'm looking at our group here. I believe everyone can hear the Word of God. Everyone can understand God's message for us. Everybody can follow through and obey the Lord. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Now, I want you to think about the commandments that God gives us. His commandments are instructions for us to obey. Have you ever taken and looked at the Bible and maybe you saw a big instruction book that said, "Hey, do this and do this and don't do this." And sometimes we look at it and go, "Oh man, what a burden it's placed on us as Christians. We can't do anything. We've got all these instructions and all these burdens on us." And I want to tell you that when we love God, it doesn't look like a giant burden. It's a blessing. God does not do things to us. He does things for us. His instructions and His commandments and His precepts and His laws and His statutes are for our blessing and our benefit. If you will follow in obedience to God, you will receive the blessings of that obedience. Your life will be better if you obey the Scriptures. Your life will be better if you'll be under the authority and the influence of the Word of God. I'm afraid too often we pick and choose. We pick and choose what we're supposed to do. We pick and choose which one we want to follow and which one we don't. Now, the Lord is so patient with us. This morning I talked about a continuing sanctification. He deals with us line upon line and precept upon precept. Sometimes someone who has been in the church and has been loving Christ for a while and has grown a bit, they look at somebody new come in and they want them to have it all immediately. You know, it's kind of like me taking Levi and holding up and saying, "Levi, quit being such a big baby. Everywhere you go, people have to carry you and you won't walk. And you won't talk and you won't tell us nothing. And you won't eat for yourself. And you can't even go and use the bathroom that's conveniently placed in the house. You're just a mess. You're a baby." That'd be silly, wouldn't it, Cleon? But sometimes spiritually we treat someone like that. Christ was driven by compassion. You know what the Pharisees said about Jesus? "Oh, you can't trust him. He's always with the sinners. You can't trust him. He's out there with them wine bibbers. He's out there with them gluttons and them drunkards. Look, he's out there with them prostitutes. He's out there with those sinners." Christ said, "Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I think sometimes we get a little bit of an ivory tower built, and we get a little bit of a Christian culture in our church, and we're kind of pristine and we're apart, and we hold ourselves aloof. And when we hold ourselves aloof from those who need the gospel most, we end up holding ourselves aloof from one another also. We're better at building walls than we are building bridges. The things that separate us are more than the things that pull us together. We are all very different. And if we allow those differences to cause divisions, they will. God gives us opportunity. He gives us opportunity in His Word. He gives us a place and an outlet to serve. Let me read you a few scriptures. These are just on keeping the commandments of God. The first one I want to read is in Exodus 20, where we find the Ten Commandments, and verse 6, and it talks about God's goodness. We see that the sins of the father are going to visit to the second and third generation. In the verse 6, we see, "...in showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Him and keep My commandments." In Deuteronomy 5:10, we have the very same verse, "and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love Me and keep My commandments." In Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Mr. Lindsay, you've never really been extremely wealthy. You are doing pretty well, though. God's been good to you. But you don't have an inheritance that you could give that would extend to 1,000 generations. Maybe a dollar each generation, right? But if you'll fear God and you'll keep His commandments and you'll obey Him, He'll smile on your family 1,000 generations from now and visit them with that righteousness. That's amazing to think about. The goodness and the blessing of God. Last week we talked a little bit about a commandment. What is a commandment? It's not the 10 suggestions, is it? A commandment is something that is demanded of us, no ifs, ands, or buts. Why does God have a right to lay down commandment after commandment of us as believers? Is it because Jesus died? No, He had the right before Jesus died. Because He is God. He is the absolute. He is the authority. God has been so kind to mankind. He's been so kind to all. Imagine somebody that was getting ready to take and set off a bomb and kill thousands of people. And in our government, we have a whole espionage unit, and their whole purpose is to find out about things like that and stop them before they happen. And if necessary, we'll send in someone that will take the life of that person to prevent that attack. Can you imagine if you had the power that God has and yet the grace that He has also? You know, somebody's going to do a crime against children. You could just stop them from breathing just like that. You could stop their heart. And say, well, God, go ahead and go get them all. In the getting of all of them, He'd get you too. See, we always want to think of somebody else as the one that has a problem or has a sin or is the enemy of God. But so many times we have come up on a sin, we've chosen to do it, and we've chosen that thing against God. We look and we say, well, I just got a little sin, Pastor, and those are big sins. We're all guilty in our sin. In Deuteronomy 10, 12 and 13, now unto Israel. Now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God and to walk in all His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. To keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. To fear the Lord. To walk in His ways. To love Him. To serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. To keep His commandments and statutes that are commanded. You know, it's one of the reasons why we should read the Bible. You know what you're going to find when you read the Bible? You're going to find the instructions of God to you. You're going to find what the Lord would have you to do. You're going to find some things that you should obey. You're going to find some things that God would have you to do. I remember as a young person, I read the scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. And it means if God gives you light and God gives you instruction, that you're responsible to follow in that light, walk in that light. You're responsible to obey those instructions. I said, oh man, I don't want to know anything else because I'm already responsible for so much. You know, at that point, when you can think that, you're already responsible for the knowledge that you should continue looking for more. It is such a blessing to walk in the light. And His Word is a light and a lamp to our feet and to our path. We can see where we're going to walk in it. Sometimes, you know, I remember hearing this as like a fellow with a candle on each shoe, and the candle shed a little circle of light. And every time he took another step, he could see a little further. Sometimes God lets us see the long and big picture, and sometimes He lets us see the next step we should take. If you will follow in the instructions of God, you will be happy. You ever have a time when you were at a spiritual dilemma or crossroads? And you had verses come to your mind that talked you and instructed you and helped you? You ever experienced anything like that, Mrs. Jackson? Leon, you ever experienced anything like that? Linda, you ever experienced anything like that? Megan, you ever have a time when you were thinking about doing wrong and your conscience inside you was saying, don't be doing that? Emily, you ever have a time when you were unhappy or cross or angry and inside the voice in you telling you, hey, that ain't the right thing to do. You know that's wrong. You ever experienced that? It's the voice of God. The one is the Holy Spirit. The other is our conscience, which is called an unwritten scripture in Romans. I'm going to tell you this. You will either follow, obey, and encourage that inward instruction that you hear, or you will tune it out. My wife's an expert at hearing a funny noise in the car. And then she starts to diagnose the funny noise. This past week, I took care of a funny noise in the car. And when I was done, I said, Jake, you know what your mom will do? And he said, no, what will she do? And I said, she'll find another noise. And started asking me about the new noise instead of the old noise. I said, I just know your mom well enough to know that's what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you this. She'll hear a noise in the car and I'll say, turn up the radio and you won't have to hear that noise anymore. And I'm afraid sometimes the Holy Spirit of God or the Scripture or our conscience is talking to us and we're turning up the radio so we don't have to hear that noise anymore. We had a moment of silence this morning and it's a good thought and a well put time to say, hey, we don't have silence anymore. There's always something, noise, pollution or noise that we brought in, noise of something, always that we don't have time to stop and be still and know that He's God. We don't have time to stop and commune with our conscience. We don't have time to listen and hear that He is God. We've always got something plugged into our ear. We've always got something playing. We've always got something on in the car, something on at the house. We need some times of stillness and quiet. You ever get in the car and not turn on the radio? And just have some quiet time? You ever have some time where you just set aside? You know, people used to get in their car and they would pray. Used to get in their car and they would sing. Used to get in their car and they would... Now, there's always something else. Get in the car and hear what Rush Limbaugh is thinking. We get in the car and hear something else. it's good to stop and be quiet and hear the voice of God. You'll either seek it out and it'll be enhanced and its influence will grow in your life, or you will quench it. You'll resist it. You'll reject it. You'll refuse it, and pretty soon your conscience will be seared as with a hot iron. My cousin Dan, when he was quite young, he got his arm stuck in a wringer washer. And it started sucking his arm in. And he got about to here, and all of a sudden it quit sucking his arm in because it had something way bigger behind his arm. His body wouldn't go through. And he was hollering and screaming until somebody came and shut it off. And it rubbed the skin off his arm down here under his bicep. There's his tricep there. And I'd look at that scar every once in a while on his arm. And the skin on it, when you touched it, it felt like plastic. Wasn't supple and giving. It was a hard scar tissue just covered. And it was a light, bright pink. Now, there was no feeling left there. The nerves were all gone. They're rubbed off. He had a spot on his arm where it had been just rubbed away. Is there a spot where your conscience is building up and getting calloused? God says that His Spirit will not always strive with man. I'm going to tell you this. If God speaks to you, it is a precious thing. It is so precious. If God will speak to you, if God will work in your heart, if God will use the Scripture, if God will draw you to Himself, if God will emphasize His love in your heart and mind, turn around and respond to it and love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Follow His commandments. They're not grievous. They are blessing and they are life. If you was flopped out in the middle of the ocean and somebody threw a life ring to you, you wouldn't push it away and say, quit blocking my view. You'd grab that thing and you would cling to it. And the Word of God in a sea of sin is like that life ring, that help and that hope. In John 14:21, Jesus said, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. First thing we do when we hear this verse is we want to figure out how we fit into this verse. And we start thinking of some times when we kept God's commandments. And that we love Him because we've kept His commandments. I want you to think on the other side of this to some times when you did not keep His commandments. In John 15 and verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We know that Jesus kept His Father's commandments in a better way than we'll ever keep His. But we want to press toward that mark. We want to strive to the line. We want to continue in the race that God has given each of us. He's given us an opportunity and a responsibility to follow and obey Him. Okay, let's all throw our hands up again. Wiggle your fingers a little bit. Oh, both hands. Both hands. Oh, good. Okay, if anybody needs to stand up, you can stand up. Let me continue. So we follow God, we follow His commandments, and we emphasize His Spirit working in our heart and our mind. And it's a help to us. Have you ever fought the Lord? seriously. I'm going to say this to my shame. I have. I fought God at different times and different places. And one of the times when I fought God is when God said, hey, why don't you give him a mention of the gospel and the good news of my son, Jesus Christ? Why don't you witness to him? There is no arguing whether you should or shouldn't when God says, hey, why don't you do that? They'll say, well, Lord, let me see if I got a track. Or let me figure out what I'm going to say. Oh, he's gone already. I don't have time to do it now. It's a wrestling with God and disobedience. Have you ever had a place where you read in the Bible and God said, hey, make this change in your life? He said, how about I make it in my day? God says, no, I want you to make a bigger. I want you to make a bigger commitment to me. He said, how about something smaller? Let's make a deal. Have you ever been in a service at the church and God's Spirit put his finger on you and said, hey, you've got aught in your heart with this Christian. They're here right now. Why don't you honor me by getting that thing right? Why don't you honor me by having nothing, not nothing between my soul and the Savior, but nothing between myself and my fellow believer? It's important that we would rather do right than be right. I'm fascinated by our coast. And I like the places where the rocks and the water meet. I like to see rocks sticking up out of the water. I like to see those big haystacks. And day after day and month after month and year after year and even century after century, many of them have been washed by the waves and there's little or no marking on them. Now, there's some rocks that are less solid in material and they give way quicker. But there's some things, a lot of the igneous rocks we have out at the beach, they just stand and they wear like iron and there's nothing, the waves are nothing to them. They're just forever. And some of us have had the Word of God wash over us. Message after message, verse after verse, visit after visit by the Holy Spirit. And there's really little polishing going on. We set our face like a flint, as the Scripture says. We say, I shall not be moved. And we don't recognize God's will and God's working for us. Even the hardest stone in the world, the diamond, is not worth much until it's cut and polished and given facets and shines back the light. A natural uncut diamond looks rather ugly in that state. But to let God work on us, to let God polish us, to let God establish us. I would ask, I'll throw it out, are you better by yourself or with Jesus Christ? Are you better by yourself or walking in obedience to God's Word? Are the thoughts of your own wisdom better than God's wisdom? We'll say, no, 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 God's better, we need Jesus. But then in our practice, we'll alienate Him. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Notice the next verse there. The victory that overcometh the world is our faith. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We go back to Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace were you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We weren't born loving God, we were born as the enemy of God. And God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. When we were yet pursuing Christ to His death on the cross with our sins, God loved us and He commended His love through Jesus Christ to us. We have the opportunity to be born into the family of God. In Romans, God puts a spirit in our hearts that cries, Abba, Father. In John 1, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And whosoever, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And we'll sing, faith is the victory. And it certainly is. I want you to know the first victory that you'll have will not be a victory over some great, strange, foreign foe. It'll be a victory over yourself. As the Apostle Paul cries out, oh, wicked man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Your greatest victory will be over your own self and your own flesh. It'll be over the battle of your mind and the wickedness that still resides there within you. In 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Was a little story I read when I was in first grade. And it was a battle between the sun and the north wind. And the north wind came around and challenged the sun, who's the stronger? And the sun said, well, it doesn't really matter much to me, but okay. So they had a little contest. And the north wind decided to pick the contest. And he's looking around for what their contest can be, a show of strength, and they're seeing a guy walking along. The guy's wearing a coat. It's kind of a thin, tattery coat. And the north wind said, okay, we'll see which one of us can take that coat off of that guy. The sun went back behind the cloud, and the north wind had his turn, and he brought down hail and rain and wind and blew on the guy, and he was trying to rip the coat out of his clutches, and the more he blew, the tighter the guy held onto that coat. And, of course, he was wet and shivering and cold, and he held onto that coat tighter than all, and in all the things that come along in life, we'll hold on to the love of God tighter and tighter in this world. The north wind finally gave up, and the guy still had his coat. It was more tattered and worse for wear. The sun came out from behind a cloud and started shining. The guy started feeling a little more comfortable. He unbuttoned a few buttons. He walked a little further, noticed he was sweating. Took off his coat, made a little pillow out of it, and got in the shade of a tree and went to sleep. God with all of his power and all of his force, and the devil coming along like a wild wind, and it might shake up our life. We might, what's going to separate us from the love of God? Is it going to be tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness? Peril or sword? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a twofold understanding of the Scripture. This means we can go through all these things and not be separated from God's love, but we can still go through them. I've seen people in the disappointment and the discouragement and the trials and the troubles of life and death to become bitter, to become angry, to be frustrated, to lose the peace of God. But if they've accepted Christ, they did not lose their peace of God. He's still there with them. And they could take and they could stop and just enjoy God's presence in their life. If they follow his commandments. With me in 1 Corinthians 15, I just want to read this one scripture here. 55 says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He gives us the commandment. He gives us the love. He first loved us. And then he gives us the faith which causes us to always have victory in Jesus Christ. He empowers us to do what he's commanded us to do. He provides us with the blessed Holy Spirit so that we're never alone. He gives us the commandment, the comfort, and the keeping of the Scripture. Will you seek out his commandments? Or will you run and hide from them? Will you follow because you love God? Will you be encouraged by faith?
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.